Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of The Balanced Life. My name is Susan Locke and I'm here with the show's host, Renee Gable. Renee is the president and creative director of In Touch Marketing Concepts, Strengthening Your Business Identity. Each week, Renee interviews men and women from various walks of life who are endeavoring to lead a balanced life and share some aspect of their knowledge and expertise with us. Hello, Renee.
Good morning.
Who is your first guest today?
Our first guest is Pastor Lamar Eifert. He is a certified counselor with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors and is the director of the Valley Forge Biblical Counseling Center. Good morning, Pastor Eifert. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be here. Very well.
Glad to have you. Now, we have an interesting topic today. We are going to discuss idols of the heart. And I don't know about everyone else, but when I think of idol, I think of little statues or figurines of people or man-made gods and that man-made that mankind holds in high esteem. What do you mean by idol of the heart?
Well, I thought this would be an important topic for us to think about because a lot of people don't think of their problems as being an idol in their life. They think, well, my problem is marriage, or my problem is drugs, or it's alcohol, or it's fear and anxiety, or anxiety, or depression, or worry. And they look at that as the entity that needs to be fixed. When we talk about an idol of the heart, we're really talking about something deep within someone that really gets to their heart. It's the motivation of what they do. And then it shows up in some other outward form, like the things I just mentioned. But you ultimately have to go in and look and say, what's the motivation? What's the idol that's internal to that individual? And it can be different for any person. And so when we think about a definition, a formal definition of an idol, I've got some that I've looked up. And when you think about from Webster, and this goes back to an 1828 version, Webster would say an idol is that to which we indulge an excessive and sinful attachment, or anything which usurps the place of God in the hearts of his rational creatures. They actually use God there. That's kind of a formal, you know, definition of an idol, but that's not only what we're talking about here. A secular definition, as you look it up from Wikipedia, for example, a contemporary definition would be a man-made image that is venerated in some ways, kind of like that figurine or what most people think about. That's more the secular approach to it. And then we would, as the format that I take in thinking about biblical counseling and what's going on in the heart of mankind that produces an idol, I would suggest a biblical definition of this for an idol of the heart. That is anyone or anything that violates the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so you see that if we make it that broad, but we apply it to God, it could be anything that becomes the passionate desire of our heart that becomes greater than God, and therefore we're violating his first command.
Wow, I'm learning a lot already today. So is idolatry a big issue in your counseling ministry? And if so, how so?
It is huge. In fact, it defines almost every counseling session that we come into because ultimately all counselors, if we're biblical in nature, as we listen to people's problems, as we deal with their issues, again, maybe it's a marriage issue, what we're really going to be looking for is what's going on inside them that they're upset about. They're hurt about, they're disgruntled over, they're anxious about, they're worried, they're fearful, they're lusting over in some way, and it becomes an addiction. Anything like that, ultimately, we're listening very closely for and trying to define, okay, what's that idol inside their life that's producing the outward problem?
Could it be working too much? Could it be drug addiction?
Author David Powelson, he is the speaker and also the leader of the biblical counseling movement, contemporarily so. And he's also the editor of the Journal of Biblical Counseling. He said this about idolatry really years ago, but it still holds true today. And that is this. Idolatry is by far the most frequently discussed problem in the scriptures. The relevance of massive amounts of scripture hangs on our understanding of idolatry. In other words, as biblical counselors, we're saying that so much of scripture even talks about idolatry, even though we're not using the word idolatry in the counseling office as much, Yet so much everything that we do comes back to that concept, to that issue. And so at some point in every counseling session, we're going to be looking for what the idol of the heart actually is. And so it permeates almost every discussion that we have in counseling.
So a lot of people don't understand what the idol of the heart means.
Yeah, it is confusing to many. In fact, a number of years ago at a New York university, a survey was taken of incoming freshmen, and they were shown a copy of the Ten Commandments and asked to rate the Ten Commandments in terms of importance from the most important to the least important of the commandments. Well, they put murder, of course, at the top of the list. Of course, that affects mankind directly. They put adultery as the second most important commandment. The commandment against idolatry, which is thou shalt have no other gods before me, or thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, which were the first and second commandments that God gave. The New York University freshmen rated that as ninth out of the 10th commandments in terms of importance, and that's how they saw it. And so I think the survey indicates that a lot of people do not think that idolatry is a very serious sin because they limit it to thinking it's just, worshiping a little figurine or a statue like you mentioned earlier, like most people think about, and they don't think of it as, again, an idol of the heart. What's going on in their desires, their passions, what's in them that is coming out that produces problems in their life because they've displaced God with something else.
So true. How do you begin to discover the idol or idols of the heart, as you say, in someone you are counseling?
Well, and that's what we're really looking for as biblical counselors, is trying to get to the root of the problem. And we call the root of the problem that preconditioning problem. In other words, they're coming in for counseling because they have a preconditioned issue that they don't even know exists. They think it's a surface issue of anger or worry or depression, but what we're looking for is what's inside. That's the external demonstration of something that's going on internally. And so we're now trying to get to the root cause, and if we can get to the root cause and help them see that, then we can change the motivation, which ultimately will change their thinking and then change their behavior. And once you do all that, then they begin to have better feelings about their life and so on and so forth. So now to answer your question a little bit more specifically, how do we do that? Well, there's kind of like three areas of idols that we try to look at. And the first one is an internal source of idolatry. And that internal source we would define as the psychological influence. What's going on in their mind? That's the internal desires of our flesh, our inward sinful nature, that generally wages a war against the righteous character of the Holy Spirit. So you have this internal struggle going on the inside. It's the heart of idolatry. And I think Jesus himself summarized the first commandment when he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength in Mark 12:30. And so he was trying to get to people's heart to say, this is where God needs to be, on the seat of everything you are, and don't put anything else there. And so when we think about the internal source being a psychological influence, we think about the mind. And so we've got to affect, as we counsel people, we're trying to get to their thinking, their thoughts, their beliefs, their intellect, their judgment. Also their understanding and discernment about things and their conscience. If we can begin to uncover what they're thinking and what their belief system is and so on, how they're making judgments about life, then it'll be able to help us better get to the surface problems that they're facing. So first of all, the internal source or that psychological influence would be the mind. The second part of that is the will. That is, what are their internal desires or their motivations? That's also a part of the internal source. And then third, of course, is the affections. And that's their feelings and their emotions and their passions, maybe even their imaginations. And so in the New Testament, for example, Jesus warns against covetousness. Covetousness is a desire, a lustful, greedy desire for something. And it doesn't have to just be money. It can be fame, it can be fortune, it can be, sensual desires, it can be to dominate over someone else, to have power in life, all these sorts of things that become covetous, something that we really desire. That's an old biblical term, but it still has application today. And so a craving or a yearning for someone or something. And we can even make a person, if you will, an idol of our heart, even in a good sense or a negative sense. We love them so much they take the place of God. Or we let them influence us so much in a negative way, they take the place of God. And we become angry or despondent or irritated with someone, that's what we continually think about every day. How can I get that person back? Oh, how much they irritate me. And because it influences the mind and the motivation so much, that becomes the controlling influence of how they act on the outside. And so understanding that it can take all sorts of, roots here, it helps us to better understand what's going on with the person. So that's the first part. You've got the psychological or the internal source. Secondly, there's the external sources, and there's two of those. And this is kind of includes like all that the world has to offer out there in our society, including people and events. The influences that bombard our lives in an alluring way or a provoking way or a harsh and a critical and depreciating way. So in essence, the external sources, they're sources that become so entrenched in our daily lives and control our actions and our attitudes and emotions that they take over. And so the external sources, number one, would be the sociological sources. And we're talking about people. When you think about the sociological sources of an idol, it's generally people. And so that could be a good friend. Now, you say a good friend isn't bad, but we can become so dependent and codependent upon someone, or we enable someone that without that person, we can't function well. That can become a source of an idol for us. Our children, we become so overprotective of a child, or we become so agitated or irritated with a child that because they're controlling our demeanor, they're controlling our, our emotions, we let the child's behavior become an idol of our heart. It could be another church member, a coworker, a boss, a family member, our friends, even our enemies, anyone in our social network that we give an over amount of influence to our life. That becomes that idol, that person becomes our idol, so to speak. So there's a sociological factor to people. Most people don't think about that a person becomes an idol of our heart, but they really can, and they become controlling of us, and we give them too much authority, and then by default, God gets moved off the throne, and we displace God with this person. And then the third part, in this external source, I mentioned the sociological. There is also not just the sociological, there's also the spiritual source under the external source. And what I mean by that is that can even be demonic influence, just a spiritual warfare going on where people get, preoccupied with the control and the power of evil forces and lets them control them. So they become fearful and anxious and worried and discouraged and depressed and defeated or insecure in so many ways. And that becomes then their source of idol. It's not God. It's one of these negative factors that has a spiritual root to it. Mm-hmm. And so all three of those can be very influential in people's lives.
I never thought of so many of those. So can someone or something you really love be an idol of the heart?
Absolutely. And again, as I was just talking about it, it can be anything. And I'd like to really think about one verse in Scripture that we often use to help people understand this. And it's in the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 16. And it says, "To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness." What the Apostle Paul is saying there is that yes, we can allow people to negatively influence us in a very powerful way. And so it's our choice to whom we yield ourselves a servant to obey. In other words, a servant to obey, we put ourselves under the authority of that commanding influence. And when we do that, that becomes, you know, a real problem for people. And then the second part of that verse, his servant you are to whom you obey. In essence, it's not just talking only about people, but again, it could be any activity, any desire, the desire for money or pleasure or, you know, sensual actions or some type of substance or drug that gives us a euphoric feeling and we want that again and again and again and again. That becomes everything we live for. And so drugs are a common, you know, source of idolatry because of the good feeling that people pursue from that. It's also an escape from the reality that they live in. And so it becomes a dominant force of their life. And so thereby we try to help people see that you're giving way too much authority and control and influence to that substance, to that person, to that promotion, to that bank account, to making money. And that's what controls you, and that's what's causing all of these other issues in your life. We need to remove the idol and put God back on the throne.
That's just wonderful to hear. I'm sure it's touching some of our hearts as Pastor Eifert speaks. We do have Pastor Eifert here from Valley Forge Biblical Counseling Center, and if you need to get in touch with him, you can go to their website at vfbcc.org or by calling 866-828-9667. We are in the studio today with Pastor Eifert. We've been talking about idolatry, and I think we're starting to see that idolatry can lead to an unbalanced life. And it sounds like it's an internal problem of the soul, Pastor Eifert. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It really has its foundation in the heart, just like we talk about. It's an idol of the heart. And years ago, I was reading a book by Mr. Ed Welch called Addictions, A Banquet in the Grave. And when you think about an addiction, you think about something that you become addicted to. It controls you. That's another form of an idol of the heart, an addiction. Well, he insightfully called an addiction a worship disorder. Now, when we think in secular or psychological terms, we think of all sorts of disorders. We think of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Mm-hmm. We think of oppositional defiance disorder. We might think of ADD, you know, attention deficit disorder. There's all sorts of disorders out there, but seldom does anyone today think about a worship disorder. And what do I mean by that? I mean that we can move God out of our lives and put in place anything else in life that we desire more than God. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes false worship because, again, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. And so that thing, that person, that object, that desire, it could be even the desire for well-behaved children, something good, a good name in the community. We can pursue that so hotly and so greatly that even something good can become a consuming desire, a worship disorder, and something that displaces God as well. And so we have to be careful on the negative items in our lives or even the positive items of our life that are good for us, just to keep it in balance. Don't let it become a consuming, controlling desire of our life.
True. How do you counsel someone with an idol of the heart, and do they even see that they are practicing idolatry?
You know, it's funny because most people don't understand this concept of idolatry. That's why when they come into the office, we begin to, you know, first of all, uncover this and explain this. And we might ask them, have you ever thought about who or what influences your life the most? And we wait for an answer. Yeah, I really think about it. It's my career. I want my career to be a success, and I'll do almost anything to advance that. Or on the negative side, it could be, you know what? I'm so frustrated with my spouse that I wake up angry. I'm angry all day long, and I go to bed angry, and I think my source of my anger is that I'm not getting along with my wife or my husband. And therefore, then a person, an individual, can become that consuming influence, that object of worship that we just can't let go of. So that's part of certainly what that is. And so what we try to do in helping people is understanding really what the idol is, that it can be anything. And then we try to change their thought life. We try to really get into the heart, not to just change their behavior. That's the external thing. We want to get them thinking about what the internal problem is. And a lot of counseling today, even on the secular side, says, well, I just want the counselee to feel better. I want them to be more successful at work. Well, our end goal is to help someone become more Christ-like, to become more godly, to put God first on their life, because the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus' own words, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things in life will be added unto us. When we put Christ on the throne, when we give him his rightful place as our Lord and Creator, then all the other things God can say, hey, I can trust you with a good marriage. I can trust you with a good paying job. I can trust you with these other things because you're not going to use that to displace me.
Thank you so much for being here today, Pastor Eifert. I know we all learned so much. Please join us on Balanced Life with Pastor Eifert the second Saturday of every month. He will be with us on April 11th. From 8 a.m. to 8:30. If you would like to get in touch with Pastor Lamar Eifert at the Valley Forge Biblical Counseling Center, you can reach him through vfbcc.org or 866-828-9667. I'm Renee with InTouch Marketing, and thank you for joining us today.